This program is intended for a printed paired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Club of Rutland, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. It's Friday, it's May 29, and in the next half hour, we will be bringing you news from the Landmark. This is Paul Nato. Hey, thank you so much for supporting Audio Journal and for listening to the Community News Landmark. Thank you. I guess first, let me kind of apologize for my voice. Slept with the window open last night and must be all appalling, but I can't stop sneezing. But I know you guys want to hear some news about budgets, so let's start with Paxton's budget. And this comes from Ken Cleveland, a Landmark correspondent. Paxton starts towards new budget for voters. With the failure of an override, town officials began to work to prepare a reduced budget to bring to a future special town meeting discussing options at the May 18th select board meeting. Part of that hinged on a school assessment, which was defeated at a town meeting, to fill a school committee, but the town still have to trim municipal budgets. On May 19th, part of the board hinged on a school assessment, which was defeated at a town meeting. Together with Rutland's field override, it sent the budget back to the school committee. But the towns still have to trim their municipal budgets. On May 19th, the Wachusett Regional School District Committee opted to use increased state educational funds of about $555,000 to reduce assessments to the five towns. Now, that saved Paxton about $50,000. But the failure of the $470,000 override means cuts to the municipal budgets. Rutland will see a reduced school assessment as well. Its override failure was the second town to defeat the school budget, as it was contingent on their override. Both towns will need special town meetings to vote new budgets by July 1st, which is starting of the new fiscal state year. For Princeton and Sterling, the cuts could save them money, but they do not have to vote again. Holden will see a reduction to its assessment, and the school budget will be voted on at the June 8th town meeting. Paxton Select Board set a June 22nd special town meeting for voters to revisit the budget. Now, the work on the budget numbers will be handled by the Finance Committee, which is largely responsible for crafting the budget brought to the town meeting voters. The Select Board is planning meetings every week until the special town meetings, slating May 26th, June 8th, and June 15th meetings, as well before the June 22nd gathering of voters. In other business, at the May 18th meeting, two new members joined the select board, with Jeffrey Wenzel and Steve Rubesco having been elected at the annual town election. The board reorganized, choosing Julia Pignatori as the chair, Wenzel as the vice chair, and Christopher Curtis as the clerk. Outgoing board chair, Peter Bogren Jr., continued. Bogren continued as the chair at this meeting because he was the one that put the night's agenda together, but he did make note for every vote he was the former chair, eager to pass the baton. Bogren noted the agenda item to review and discuss the budget deficit, but I'm not so sure that's really our role, Bogren said. That would be for the Finance Committee. I'm sure that they've already started doing some work on that. But Bogren did add that I think we got to start thinking about the future. noting the old adage of the definition of insanity is repeating the same action over and over, expecting a different outcome, Bogren said. And this seems to be what we're doing as a town. He raised the idea of regionalizing some services, an idea from another town reaching out to Paxton. He clarified that at this point, it would be looking into studying the regionalization. I want to be perfectly clear about that, because I don't even know if it would work. Regionalization has been used in some areas, such as dispatches, but even that was an effort towns have resisted for decades before more recent efforts. Last fall, there was some study of the possibility of a regional fire department among several communities, Bogren said, but that fell apart. The funding fell apart, so we haven't pursued it any further. But there are ideas out there. If you look at the number of overrides throughout the state this year, it's mind-boggling. He added, I've never seen a year with so many overrides, not just central Massachusetts either. It's something I think we need to start looking at. It's that really where I was thinking about when it comes to the next steps after the override. Because the finance committee's responsibility will be to construct a budget and get to advise town meetings as to what they believe a sustainable budget would be for the fiscal 2027. I think it's great. It's a great idea. Just because we're going to be doing this over and over again, we've done it for the last 3 years, and it's not getting better, Curtis said. So I think we owe the residents for us to think outside the box, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but we need to explore. And I think it doesn't need to be an all or nothing either. So perhaps there are certain functions within departments that would be amenable to regionalization as opposed to an entire department. But we would start there, Pignatori said. And I think we talked about this last year, that the operating model or something thereof has to change. And it doesn't necessarily mean this is the answer or something else is the answer, but the revenue isn't going to change that much, and the expenses are going to continue to climb, Wenzel said. We owe it to everyone to look at all these options, and they're big, scary options, Wenzel added. But we have to look at them. We need to work on some long-term sustainability without having to ask for overrides, Pignatori said. So, very true. It's not going to go away, but how do you control costs? I feel bad for everybody who finds themselves in this situation. It sounds like most of Massachusetts at this point. Wow. What's going on in Paxton? Another story from Ken Cleveland, Landmark correspondent. And its title is Committee to Monitor AMC. The Anna Maria College Transition Advisory Committee will monitor developments related to the closure and decommissioning of Anna Maria College. The new Paxton Committee will look at how the town can benefit from the closure, ensuring the town is part of the process and can take advantage of any opportunity. The committee shall evaluate opportunities for the town to acquire, receive, or otherwise benefit from equipment, furnishings, vehicles, materials, technology, real estate, or other assets that may become part of the decommissioning process where such opportunities may serve municipal purposes or reduce costs to the town, with the document detailing the oversight expected from the committee. The committee will include members of various town committees, employees, and two residents to be appointed by the select board. Now, what they're going to do, let's see here. What will they do? As the students and employees leave the once busy campus, officials had concerns about the site. Fire Chief Michael Pignatori explained at the May 18th Select Board meeting the emergency order he issued to college officials April 30th. when an institutional campus becomes vacant or partially occupied, as what we have now with Anna Maria, it becomes a heightened and foreseeable fire safety hazard for us, Pignatori said. He noted risks from reduced supervision, the utilities, fuel systems, hazardous materials that are up there, and potential impairment of fire protection systems with the order establishing controls to prevent hazards from developing. One of the biggest fears I have as a fire chief is having to fight a fire in a vacant building, not knowing whether or not it is really truly vacant. The other ensures things such as the fire suppression system and the fire alarm system are maintained. Once those buildings start to go into a deferred maintenance, I'm almost positive we're going to be up there quite a bit dealing with fire alarms, Pignatori said, noting the department had already responded to a small fire in an HVAC unit. With the maintenance employees no longer caring for equipment, it increases concerns. One of my guys who was up there said it looked like the HVAC system hadn't been serviced in years. So we know the struggles that the campus has. So that's really the gist of the order I issued on April 30th. Someone has to be responsible for it, Pignatori said. This order prohibits the impairment of any life safety systems or fire suppression systems unless there's a prior written authorization. The order specifically requires written approval not only from me, the Paxton Fire Department, but also from the state fire marshal. Out of that order, the college has to produce a comprehensive emergency decommissioning and securement plan, noting safety concerns. Pignatori said, as for the town of Paxton, those are very large buildings. There are 11 of them up there. There is 30,000 gallons of No. 2 heating oil underground at the physical plant. There are about 15,000 gallons of propane storage up there. They do have a license, so we're just waiting to see how that stuff's going to come offline. And if it's going to come offline, if they're going to keep the buildings heated for the winter. So we'll see how this all plays out. But right now, as much of the speculation's kind of fun to watch online, we have a pretty big pink elephant sitting off of Grove Street, Pignatori said. Select Board Member Stephen Rubisco asked, relative to the security of the facility, to avoid vandalism, squatters, how is that being handled relative to the vacancy of the premises? That's something that I actually met with Anna Maria's attorney this morning about. So we're actively working on making sure that it is secure, Town Administrator Robert Burbick said. So, of course, nobody foresaw any of this, but pretty amazing how closing a small school like Anna Maria can impact the town in such a major, major way, especially on their fire department and probably police department too. That's a lot of work. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, you're listening to Audio Journal, and this program is a production of Audio Journal. It's Community News, The Landmark. And as always, thank you for your support, and thanks for listening in. Thank you. Little plug here. There's a Holden's Farmers Market. It's every Tuesday from May to October. It's held from 3 to 6 p.m. It's across from the Gale Free Library. Now, it's got local fruits and veggies, bread and baked goods, meat and eggs, milk and cheese, fresh-cut flowers, crafts and soaps, and much, much more. So once again, every Tuesday from 3 to 6 p.m., right across from the Gale Free Library, it's the Holder's Farmers Market. So if you like to get out and about, that might be something you might enjoy. So we're going to go over a whole bunch of Wachusett's going-ons. And in honor of America's 250th birthday, Rachel Revere in Paxton. So the Richards Memorial Library's 100th birthday, the Paxton Historical Commission and the Friends of the Richards Memorial Library will be co-sponsoring the story of Rachel Revere. Now, she was the wife of Paul Revere. Judith Calora of History at Play will present the program. Calora is a professional educator. She's an award-winning playwright and a living historian. The event will be held at 4 p.m. Saturday, May 30th, in the Paxton Community Center. No, I'm sorry, the Paxton Senior Center, which is at 17 West Street in Paxton. Now, everybody's invited. So once again, that's Saturday, May 30th, 4 p.m. The Chamber Annual Dinner's coming up, and that's going to be held from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 2nd, at the Choxit Inn, 59 Laurelwood Road in Sterling. The Chamber will present its Community Leadership Award to State Rep Kimberly L. Ferguson. Now, Ferguson is being recognized for her leadership, high ethical standards, dedication to the community she serves. In addition, the Chamber will award up to four $2,500 scholarships to outstanding high school seniors from the Wachusett area. The evening will also feature the presentation of the Chamber Champion Award, the election of officers and members of the Board of Directors, and recognition of member businesses celebrating milestone anniversaries. Now, it's sponsored by the Cornerstone Bank. The event is open to the public. The cost is $55 per person. To register, you're going to go to www.WachusettAreaChamber.org. Okay, so that's June 2nd, Choxit Inn. The Chamber area residents are invited to join the Wachusett Area Chamber of Commerce on a tour of Spain's Costa del Sol in the capital city of Madrid. Now, the tour runs from April 5th to the 13th, so that's like 8 days in 2027. A travel information session will be held from 6 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 9th at the Manna Banquet Facility, 42 West Boylston Street, and that's in West Boylston. The trip is open to all area residents. Now, the trip highlights include guided explorations of, oh boy, a whole bunch of places I can't say. But you'd be going to Magala, Marbella, Granada, a visit to the Alhambra Palace, and the old and new bridges of Ronda, and a multi-night stay in Madrid. I'm telling you, I've been to a few of these places, and Ronda is just spectacular. The package covers round-trip transportation to and from Logan Airport, round-trip airfare, 11 meals, professional tour guides, and deluxe motor coach travel. The three-night Barcelona post-tour extension is available. The full trip itinerary is available on the Wachusett Area Chamber of Commerce website. This trip is provided by the Wachusett Area Chamber in partnership with Colette, a leader in group travel since 1918. Now, space is limited, and it's come on a first-come, first-served basis. So for more information, you can contact Jen Stenovich at 508-829-9220, or you can email at WachusettAreaChamber.org. The Paxton Mass Garden Club. They're going on a bus trip to the Pioneer Valley. It's going to be a day trip Saturday, July 11th to Shelburne Falls, Ashfield, and Goshen to explore popular nature preserves. Now, the trip will include a 40-minute descent tour of the Bridge of Flowers, a quarter-mile trolley ride on trolley number 10, lunch at the Ashfield Lake House and a visit to Three Sisters Sanctuary in Gauche. Cost is $85 per person. Now, once again, space is limited to 55 attendees, and advance registration is required. So if you want to do that, go on the Paxton Garden Club website and look for bus trip, and you can sign up there. And I think some pretty exciting news. Sterling has announced their summer concerts. The summer concert series lineup is set. Concerts will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesdays from June to August at Memorial Park, which is behind the fire station. Now, June 3rd, the first night, they got the Vig. June 10th, they got Rocking Grass. June 17th, they got the Rock Blockers. June 24th, the band from UNCLE. July 1st, the Jim Atkinson Band. July 8th, Houston Bernard. July 15th, Slowgrass. July 22nd, Rusty Buckets. July 29th, Illusions. August 5th, Rampage Trio. Woof. August 12th, Rhythm. August 19th, P.T. Pickers. And August 26th, Rose Gold Glasses. So there's some good music coming up here. Now, if you are available on June 6th at noontime at the First Church in Sterling, there's a community lunch. All are welcome. Food is love. Free. There's no reservation required. The menu is a turkey Polynesian spinach salad, rice, and mixed veggies. Turkey Polynesian. That's interesting. June 6th, once again, it's free and it comes from the church. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for feeding people. We all need to help out in that way right now. Things are tough out there. Things are very, very hard. Got to close out with a few things from the Conant Library in Sterling. It's located at 4 Meeting House Hill Road. It's open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For programs that require registration, you can always visit sterlinglibrary.org or you can call their number, which is 978-422-6409. There's a summer reading program needs a prize donation. Summer is coming. The library is seeking donations of new items from youth ages 0 to 18 to be awarded as prizes in its youth summer reading program raffles. Popular prizes in the past have included Pokemon cards, sets, Squishmallows, not sure what those are, candy, gift cards, toys and craft kits. Donations may be dropped off at the library. Anyone interested in writing poetry, adult writers beginning through advance are invited to join the Upbeat Poets. This positive only, no pressure poetry workshop is held the first Monday of each month from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Explore prompts, share your writing if you desire, and provide and receive support from peers in a critique-free setting. Registration is required, so you're going to visit the Sterling Library org, or you can call that 978-422-6409 number. Now, my favorite club, the Slacker Book Club, is a self-service book club, and it's open to everyone. The book for May is A Fire Sparkling by Julianne McLean. Now, there's no formal meetings. There's no questions to answer. No deadlines. No registration required. It's just a chance to read a book. So let's jump in on that one. Drop-in Construction Junction. Kids of all ages are invited to drop in on Thursday, May 21st, Between 4:30. Oh, wait a minute. That already happened. I'm sorry about that. That's an older one. Looks like most of this stuff is gone. Oh, we got a book bingo for adults. It's a self-directed reading challenge, and it runs to the end of June. It has opportunities to win prizes. You receive a raffle ticket for each bingo you complete for chances to win a gift certificate to a local restaurant. Now, they have to be adult books only unless otherwise indicated. It's open to ages 18 and older, no registration required. So pick up your bingo sheet at the circulation desk, or you can view it at the sterlinglibrary.org. Book Bingo is sponsored by the Friends of the Library. So that's going to bring us to the end of this week's program. And I think, oh, I forgot to ask. I hope everybody had a good Memorial Day. It was nice to have the sun finally pop out for that little bit so we could cook on our grills. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, which is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. I'm Paul Nadeau. Thank you for listening. And as always, hey, if you got a big day this week, have some fun with it. And as always, be safe, but let's have some fun this week, okay? See you next week.
Listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. I'm Brianna Amingwa, a birder, environmental educator, and mom of two little bird-loving boys.
I see a bird right there. Right.
You're right. I see him too. What's he doing?
I see what he's doing.
I've heard people say that little kids and birding do not mix. But as a parent and educator, I've seen how watching birds can teach kids to observe closely, to stretch their attention span, and to build empathy for the natural world.
I love the blue jays because they're my favorite color. They're my favorite birds in the whole city.
Nice. And what do blue jays look like when you see them? Like, how do you know that's a blue jay when you see it?
Because it's a jay and it's blue.
My kids remind me to appreciate the little things, like the birds right outside of our window. And when we bird together, we all get to practice the most important birding skill of all. Patience.
Waiting.
Mm-hmm. Watching
it's
birds
all
is
about waiting.
It is.
This is Black Birders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag Black Birders Week on social media and visit birdnote.org. I'm Brianna Amingwa.
Hello, listeners. Would you like to hear news from Holden, Paxton, Princeton, Rutland, and Sterling that you're not likely to hear on commercial television and radio? Tune in to Audio Journal every Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.